happy Mother's Day to all the moms and the grandmas and the aunties. I have a niece that says Auntie is her favorite name, and I would agree that is my favorite name. Auntie to many nieces and nephews and adopted nieces and nephews. Happy Mother's Day to all of you who are playing mothering roles to the children in your lives, whether they are biological children or not. Many of us women and men actually play mothering figures and nurturing figures in the lives of children. And so this is a day to celebrate that role. Amen? Happy Mother's Day to all of us. In light of that, I just want to say thank you to this congregation for being there for my family as we celebrated my mother's going home. We laid her to rest on Friday. We had a beautiful memorial service here in this sanctuary. I want to thank Lake Burien Presbyterian Church for those of you that were able to come and to be here with us. It meant a lot to us to see your faces, to the ladies that worked in the kitchen really hard. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Your support and your love did not go unnoticed by our family. So thank you so very, very much for being a place where my mother worshiped God and worshiped with all of you the goodness of the Lord. These hymns that we sang today were among my mom's favorite. James didn't even know that. And so just this idea of blessed assurance. My mom today sits up there and she knows that all of what she has said, all of her life, all of our lives is now true. And so thank you for being there for us. Thank you so much. My mom worked at Boeing for 26 years. She retired there. Her job there was, she was a shop clerk. And I was reflecting on my mother's life as a shop clerk at Boeing. And I realized that people in my generation and the generations to follow really are so fortunate that we can actually sit and ponder the question, what does God want me to do with my life? My mother and many probably of you and really didn't kind of sit and had the luxury to do that. My mom just had to go to Boeing every single day and go be a shop clerk. I think about the times that, you know, my mom in her earlier years in Samoa was a teacher. She actually was a teacher for 12 years. And I often wonder why, when she came to the States, that she didn't continue on in that profession. I believe it probably had something to do with the level of education that is required to be a teacher in the U.S. And so she worked as a domestic. She cleaned houses. She worked at the Olympic Hotel. And then she worked at Boeing. And I thought to myself how fortunate and blessed I was and my siblings were to actually go and pursue the things of our hearts. We actually got to go pursue the things that were fulfilling to us. And that is a privilege. It's a privilege to be in a community, in a time and place where you actually could ask the question, what brings meaning to my life? And not just the question, which was before her and my father, is how do we put food on the table? How do we raise our kids? How do we put clothes on our children? How do we have a house? And so they did what they needed to do. And I stand here going, my mother's vocation, actually, was to be a mom. That was it. She went to work every day to be a shop clerk at Boeing to bring money into the house. But what she actually did as vocation and calling was to be a mother. And, of course, I'm biased. I think she was awesome at it. And so this idea of vocation is where we're headed in the next 3 or so weeks with our sermon series. Several of us have gathered for 7 or 8 weeks in the home of Paul and Kelly Larson to consider this question, what do we do with our lives every day when we walk out of the house? What do we do, particularly if you are working in the business world or you have a work that is different than a nonprofit kind of leadership, where your job is really to go out and be part of the business community? And that's a really important question for us to consider as people who are called by God to, with every day, to recognize that you are stewarding the gifts of God with your very lives. You steward your time. Every minute of every day, of every month, of every year, you and I are called to steward the resources that God has given us, our time, our money, our talents. And so those of us that gathered studied a book called Business as a Holy Calling. And this book was intended to create conversation for the church to address what many people are now calling the Sunday to Monday gap. The Sunday to Monday gap, especially for people who are doing work in the business sector. How do you take your faith and your spirituality and have it bring meaning to every day where you go to work? As a leader and a Christian leader, I've been in Christian ministry, nonprofit work in Christian organizations for 30 years. And I have to tell you that sitting with these groups, this group of friends and co-laborers in Christ from this congregation every week was humbling and eye-opening for me, because what I realized was that most of the world goes to a job in the business sector. That, for me, to listen to the conversations amongst those of you that were there was profound for me. Because what I realized is you could really come to church every Sunday and sing the songs of worship and listen to a message and then walk out of here and have to do this mental gymnastic thing in your mind of going, how does this connect to what I have to go do Monday through Friday? How does it make sense to the way I make decisions? How does it make sense to the way I lead my colleagues? How does it make sense when I'm trying to sit down in an interview and hire somebody? How does it make sense when I have to fire someone? How does it make sense when I have to sit down and do a budget and lead? So that was, for a preacher and for a minister, that was profound for me. It was a great gift to listen to the conversations that emerged in that setting. We've been talking since Easter that we are a resurrected people. We are a resurrected people with the resurrected Christ. And what that means to me is that we have resurrected values. When we walk into the workplace, we have resurrected values. We have resurrected ways of seeing people. We have resurrected ways of building a team. We have resurrected ways of listening. We have resurrected ways of all kinds of shapes and forms when we show up in the workplace. And so I'm really, 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 really excited for the next 3 weeks, because you're going to be able to hear from many of the people that participated in that book study over 7 weeks. And today we're going to hear from Paul Larson. So, Paul.
Am I the right Paul?
The right Paul.
Happy Mother's Day, by the way. Especially want to point out my wife, Kelly. She is the best mom to... There's actually three of us, two daughters and myself. So, love you. Business, more specifically, business for a profit. When you hear the media talk about business these days, what comes to mind? Fraud? Corruption? Maybe even greed? So what about the words business as a holy calling? Ah, my mind says, yeah, right. That's the last words I use to describe a business. But I grew up with the impression that in order to serve in a ministry, it had to be here in our church or our community. The workplace was totally separate. Youth advisors, elders, deacons, serving meals to homeless, church committee work, Sunday school teachers, all were examples of ministries that I thought of. So what does my career in finance have to do with a holy calling? Back in December, Lena approached my wife Kelly and I with the opportunity to host a group of 15 members from this church, all involved in some type of business, either nonprofit or profit. How could we turn you down? Starting in February, Lena And Hanny, a Seattle Pacific Seminary student born in Egypt, led us for 8 weeks through the book called Business as a Holy Calling by local author Tim Dearborn. For Kelly and I, this was an interesting time for the topic to come up. Both of us were in the midst of pretty impactful career moves. Kelly was in search of an accounting role with a firm. Myself has been involved in a major shift in the ownership of the company I've been working for the past 5 years. The timing was no coincidence. Quite honestly, I had my reservations. How do we really recognize our everyday work as a ministry? Even the book's title reflected my doubts. If you look at the book itself, it says business is a holy calling. Question mark. Once we jumped into the book, it didn't take long for me to begin to understand what I was missing and discovered a new perspective over the 8 weeks. What we found in this book is, in fact, what's right in front of you in the pews, your Bible. It starts with two strong convictions that are the foundation of how we see our work. The first conviction, we own nothing. Our cars, our land, our home, our clothes, it's not ours. It's on loan to us. We are stewards, literally caretakers of someone else's resource. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. He owns all things and entrusts them for us for care and use. Now take a moment to really think and really feel what that is like. Think about what you've accumulated and gathered over the years. Does it define who you are? What does it feel like if you were asked to share your home and everything in it with others? Is there a level of fear that you would be stripped of who you are? Or maybe, just maybe, there's a brief sense of peace. We own nothing. The second conviction, everything, I mean everything, is sacred. All people are sacred. We are made in the image of God. Resources, time, our work, whether here in the walls of our church at our place of business, everything is sacred. Do you realize the average employee works anywhere between 80,000 and 110,000 hours of work over his or her lifetime? Wow. Mm-hmm. Holy cow. Would God want us to walk through life with that amount of time and not consider what we are doing to be sacred and to His glory? You don't have to go far in the Bible to find that business, money, and economics is one of the most highly occurring subjects. In fact, Jesus emphasizes over and over this theme in His parables. 38 out of the 45 parables occurred and related to the marketplace, while out of the 120 public appearances, 112 were in local businesses rather than the temple. Business, our work in the world, is sacred in every way to God. We own nothing, and everything is sacred. From these two convictions are built six important purposes identified in this book for us to consider in our business besides making money and ensuring profit. Our group studied and discussed one of these purposes each week in depth. At first, we were a bit tentative with each other, but once we got going, we opened up and it got on a roll. Nothing was held back. You know, Silas is here, he can tell you all about that. Just as a side note here, one of the values of us getting together as a small group is really in the opportunity to share stories and to help each other along the way, finding out what's in common. So I encourage you, each of you, to take advantage when these opportunities come along to jump on it. Over the next two Sundays, members of our study group will be sharing their stories as it relates to one or more of these purposes in their own life. Here is what the book describes as the six purposes. Number one, community. Does a business build positive, caring human relationships in ways that honor as well as bridge differences? Two, work and wages. Does our business treat and pay employees fairly, providing meaningful work and contribute to the provision for human needs? Third one is stewardship. Does a particular business steward people, the capital, the natural resources, and environment in ways that honor God's will and ways? Justice. Are people, employees, customers, competitors, treated with dignity in ways that contribute to life being made right? Integrity. Are qualities of honesty, kindness, diligence, and service nurtured in the characters of all who are affected by this business? And the last one, creativity. Is creation rendered more fruitful? Innovation encouraged, and creative responses developed for products, services, and a work environment that satisfy human needs and contribute to people flourishing? Just in the brief description of each of these areas, you can see how in-depth a conversation can be, and it was, over the 8 weeks that we spent together. For example, let's take a look at the purpose of justice, which is defined as employees, customers, and competitors. Are they treated with dignity in our business in ways that contribute to life being made right? Take a look at your cell phones for a minute. While, you know, there's so many things that this has helped us out with, being able to reach out to each other more efficiently, more quickly, quicker access to information, quicker response in terms of emergencies, there's some good things. But do you also realize what the production of these pieces of hardware, who it's impacting? Today, thousands of workers, mainly women, are basically sitting each day breathing in toxic waste from the lead, the copper, the nickel, and the zinc in the production of circuit boards for these devices. NPR describes it as a cyber age nightmare. We don't hear much about this downside. Would it change our decision as a consumer? Or what about employee wages? How are we contributing to life being made right for all workers? Does our business compensate employees fairly with a livable wage, or does the gap between those in the upper salary range and the lower salary range continue to widen, pushing more people into poverty? Since no business or human being is perfect, the question becomes, are we moving the needle in the right direction toward glorifying God in our purpose? As I mentioned earlier, the timing of this group was not a coincidence. A few of those purposes clearly stood out for me. Community, for instance, is described as how we build positive, caring relationships with employees in our workplace. Now, I've got two things going against me right off. I'm an introvert. And second, don't ever get me started on a task list. And Kelly can vouch for that. There are days when I get so focused, so locked into what I need to accomplish, I forget to be in the present in the moment and actually pay attention to those around me. They become objects rather than human beings. I'm sure my small gestures along the way come across as cold or as I don't care. Over the past few months, I've become more aware of these moments and have worked to improve. Just taking a few minutes in the hallway to ask how someone's day is going can make a difference in the lives of those around us and make sure they know we care. A few of you may remember my dad. A great human being. In 1991, he died at the age of 64. One day he was over here at Taiyuan Golf Course. Sorry. The next day, he was on a life support at Highland Hospital. Way too young to move on from this world. Dad was my best friend and my mentor, and I was blessed to have worked alongside him during that part of his life. Dad had his own business as a general contractor. His office was down in our basement where he would pay the bills, work on construction bids, and he always took a break when I returned home from school in the afternoons to play ping pong. His name is stamped on a number of buildings around the south end of Seattle. If you go up here by the post office, there's the Seattle, or the Seahurst Design Group building. Over here on 152nd is a dental clinic. And I'm sure a number of you may have homes that have been remodeled or built from new by his construction company. I worked with him during my high school and college years, mainly cleaning up jobs, digging drainage ditches, hauling around materials. But I also had a chance to go visit with customers as he went out to the project sites. Dad's approach to his business was about just one thing: building a positive, healthy relationship with his customers. Now, don't get me wrong, he made profits from his business, certainly enough to support our family. But not once did I see him screw his customers over trying to make more on the bottom line. His customer satisfaction, happiness, and friendship was top priority. Well, not completely stoic, Dad was not too easily to show his emotions. Late one afternoon, Dad came home devastated in tears. A customer who had lived over on Three Tree Point had reamed him for making a mistake regarding the change order. Both parties were at fault. Dad had reason to fire back at the client over the issue, but instead, he took his share of the responsibility, talked through the issue with the customer the next day, and corrected the mistake. He did not let the situation sidetrack his purpose. For him, keeping the relationship intact was key. I am currently going through my own struggles at my work as our owner is selling the company to a private equity firm. Big changes. And certainly a lot of concerns I have about the feel of the company going forward. With this change will come some level of ownership for myself, along with other members on our senior management team. As each one of us has influence on the business, the questions I raise for myself start from, what can I do at work that will honor and glorify God? My workplace is sacred, and I have been charged to steward and care for what God has provided. How can I make a difference? I am truly grateful for the time spent the last few months with our study group, learning together and supporting each other on our journeys. I am also blessed to have a wonderful example to have been around my dad's work. His business, a small South End Seattle construction company, can be truly described as a business with a holy calling.
Thank you so much, Paul. It was a great setup to what we'll be talking about over the next now 2 weeks. I'm super excited to hear. I'm excited to hear from the folks that were part of that group to come and share with you what they've learned and how maybe what they've learned is providing them with some ways to think about the work that they're called by God to do, a holy calling, a sacred calling when you show up to work on Mondays. So thank you.